Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, the podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then have a chin tickle. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, and Mr.
Ben Errington.
How's it going, man? How's life? How's things? How's Trixie?
Life's pretty good.
Trixie.
Currently enjoying life.
Yeah? Good.
How's life with you?
Yeah, not too bad. We had a leak in the kitchen, like just... I can't show you, but it's just there... So
you had a leak in the kitchen. A leak in the kitchen. On there, yeah. What happened? Did you get the plumbers round?
No, it got really rainy, super rainy. And then it started coming through the windowsill, and then we got the landlord out today. So we had to, you know, when you get the landlord around, you can't just get the landlord around. You need to clean up.
Yeah. What's the worst is landlord turning up with no prior warning.
He'll never do that. He'll never do it to us anyway. He's only been around twice. He's always given fair warning.
My landlord has definitely done that on more than one occasion.
Really? Just turned up?
Yeah. Just turned up. Luckily, he just wanted a bit of post. That was it. So he didn't come in and sort of like have
toast.
A look about. He's on a bit of toast. Sorry, mate, I ain't got any bread in. He's like, you shit. I had to give him a crumpet. You know, yeah. That's never good for anybody.
Sorted him out a little bit, yeah. Kept him going. Bit of porous bread. I like it. Crumpets are like the most porous. They're butter suckers. They suck the butter in. I like to have them. Completely drenched.
You can drench a crumpet in butter and then just drink it. Drink the butter.
Yeah. I should have put a crumpet beneath the leek. That would have soaked it right up.
You could get like giant crumpets as well now, so you would have been sorted.
Stick the crumpets to the hole.
Yeah.
No problems.
I would have loved to hear what the landlord would have said if he came around and went, what's that stuck to the wall? And then you just go, giant crumpets.
Crumpet, and he'll go, smart.
Smart, I'm not needed here anymore. Yeah. Goodbye.
So, that happened. And then, so today's been quite crazy. So this is the latest I've watched a film we're going to talk about and then talked about it. Do you know what I mean? Because I literally finished watching this about an hour ago.
Yeah. That's good. Sometimes. I mean, that's real fresh in the brain then, isn't it?
Super
brain
fresh,
box.
Yeah.
So I think I've definitely done that before. I've watched the film and then we've podcasted almost immediately. But I've also done the opposite where we watched a film like... Yeah. A week or two, so ago, and then you come back to it, you're like, Jesus Christ.
I think there's a good balancing out there, because if you do it too soon, I feel like it's like a dough that's not been proofed enough. You put it in the oven, it's not going to rise properly. I've been watching British Bake Off. And and if you leave it for too long, I think it loses all the air bubbles or something, and it doesn't bake right.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Because sometimes it's like, if I watch a film and then I don't let it settle, in my belly, then I can think all sorts of crazy things about it. Like I remember when I watched Suicide Squad and I came out and I was like, yeah, that was really good. I really, really like that. And I think I even maybe wrote my little review out while I was still high on it. And then I think two days later, I was flat.
Yeah. Like a flat Coke. Yeah.
Like a flat Coke, exactly. The effervescence gone. And now, you know, that's what I feel like. So now, currently, I watched Eyes Without a Face earlier today.
Mm.
I'm not straight off it. So I think it's had time to settle a little bit, maybe. Okay.
That's good. We'll see how it rises. So just quickly then, other horror guff. Have you been watching anything cool? Have you read, smelled? Have you eaten any horror cakes?
No, I haven't eaten any horror cakes. I've been playing Amnesia: The Dark Descent, which I know you've been playing as well.
I
think that may be the only horror I've consumed in the last... I did watch the My Little Pony movie, or just My Little Pony the movie, yesterday, which I wouldn't consider horror. I mean, to some, that might be considered horror, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And there were some creepy moments in it, you know? Sometimes, it was a rated U film, which stands for what?
Universally friendly.
Universally lovely. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing in there to scare you, but there was stuff. There were some scary bits.
Yeah.
Tension, where you thought, oh my God, has this pony died? Has that pony died?
Really?
I mean, I was right there. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it got that far. Like a pony got sucked up off. Sucked up.
Beg your pardon. But this is a rated U.
Sucked out into like a hurricane, and I thought, that's it. That's it. Princess Twilight is done for. But no, she was all right. Sorry, that's a spoiler. That's a major spoiler. Huge spoiler. There's a cameo from Sia as well. The singer, pop superstar Sia, which I was made up about, you know.
How did you know it was Sia? Do we know what she looks like now?
The character was pretty much was her as a pony, yeah. So you just see with the wig and the hair thing, and you recognize that voice anyway.
What did you think to Amnesia? How far have you got?
Amnesia. I'm not too far. Maybe an hour. Maybe a little bit less.
I think I'm about the same.
I haven't seen any horrible nasties yet, but I've been lost a lot. And it is pretty creepy because there's noises. The soundtrack's pretty good. Well, sorry, not the soundtrack as such, but more like just the sound design.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. And I think it's creepy. And I'm always running out of oil on that old lamp.
You ran out of oil.
How far into it are you?
About the same, I think. I've got to the point where there's like, I'm pretty sure there'll be a monstery type thing at some point. Like, it feels like it's building up to the first sighting of one. But yeah, it's creepy as hell. I'm not too good at horror games.
I know what you mean. When I'm playing a horror game, I've got this constant sort of feeling in the pit of my stomach, which is just, I think it's just anticipating a jump scare. Because it's the kind of scare that feels so much more visceral than like in a film. Because you know what I mean? Because you're very reactive to it. Well, if someone's going to jump, I'm in control whether I'm going to fight it or I'm going to run.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run almost every time. I've just got into the wine cellar. I'm not sure if you're in that part yet. I had to find a key and it got me to the wine cellar.
I don't think I'm that far. Have you been past the gooey red locked doors?
I found some gooey red shit.
Yeah. No, you're favoured to me then. Yeah, interesting.
Only just, I think. I've not played the other two games, but the trilogy on PlayStation.
Yeah.
There's loads of offers on PlayStation Store as well for Halloween games, so I think I'm going to go wild and buy myself some survival horror.
Nice. So, just quickly, Netflix have put two new horror films up, Netflix originals, 1922, which is
Stephen King.
Yeah, that's quite good. It was So, it wasn't like, there wasn't jump scary or anything. It was a very much just like a slow burn, slow like rot sort of thing. I'll be honest.
So it is a horror then?
Oh yeah, it's full on horror. Yeah, yeah.
But what's the basic premise of that? Sorry.
It's all right. So it's a guy and his son and a wife, and they live on a farm. The wife wants to sell the farm, but the guy, played by Thomas Jane, he just does not want to leave the farm. He's a farmer through and through, and he makes a decision and convinces his kid to help him kill the mum, and then it's about like things just go sort of eerie from there. Like they're kind of haunted by what they've done. Things just go out of control. It's very good. Thomas Jane, although I understand what he's doing, like it's really really good performance. He's got his proper old school American farmer accent voice, and it's probably very much in keeping with that tone of that what people probably spoke like back then. But it sounds like a chew in Anaconda. Like, it sounds like he's like you can almost Jesus. Hear like the squeaky plastic between his teeth, like as he's talking. Like, I don't know. That's the best way I can describe it.
Have you used that analogy already? Please tell me. Of
Thomas Jane chewing Anaconda.
He's got a lovely pair of dungarees on in the poster, is he not?
Yeah. It's good. It's
how many Stephen King adaptations have we had this year thus far?
Four
films. The Mist TV show.
Mr. Mercedes.
So that's six things already. That just springs to mind.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. And then The Babysitter. So I recommend 1922. It was good. The Babysitter, this is a weird one. So it's a horror comedy. It's directed by McGee.
Is it?
Yeah. But
McGee, as in Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. So, but it was better than I thought it was going to be. Like, for in terms of like a film that's like just a fun horror comedy watch. So the idea is that a kid's got a babysitter. She's like the coolest babysitter ever. She has shots with him and stuff. And then he stays up one night after he's supposed to go to sleep to catch what the babysitter does after he goes to sleep. And then it turns out she's in a satanic cult, and they're going to be they sacrifice a guy, and they've been siphoning his innocent blood. And because he sees them, they try and kill him. I guess it's completely ludicrous, like absolutely ludicrous. But it's fun. There's some funny lines.
Is it 80s? It looks fun. No, is it like 80s aesthetic? No, okay.
No, although there's some 80s synthy music, you know.
It's all a rage, Luke. It's all a rage. Can you give me a rating for both of those films? So now I think about going to watch those.
Yeah, 1922. I'd give a 3.5 out of 5. What's that?
Stick to the horror hangout rating system, mate. Stick to the horror hangout rating system. Well,
okay, so because I don't think either of those films really would be anywhere near as good or as unique as the films that we're doing on this list. Okay. But just as a standard sort of rating, I give 1922 a C+, and Babysitter a C-.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
That kind of hovers around like a 6.57 rating out of 10. Even though you went for an out of 5 rating. I mean, our rating system is all over the place, mate. I mean, there's so many levels.
Yeah, well, you want to keep them guessing, don't you? You don't want anyone to know fully what you...
Keep everybody guessing. I'd give My Little Pony a B.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'd give it a 7.8, and I've not even seen it. But yes, you don't want anyone to really know what you think about a film. Mark Kermode, he doesn't even rate them. He gives you, he even really detests the film. Or, he'll give you the good and the bad, and then you'll think, so does he like it?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I enjoy listening to Mark Kermode's reviews, just simply for Simon Mayo's little... Here's Simon Mayo, isn't it? He chips in every now and again with a little... Either he corrects Mark Kermode, or he just, says something really patronising.
If Mark Kermode said, a phrase or something, and Simon Mayo, doesn't understand what it means, so he'll go to town to try and make him say, what does that mean? Nothing to do with it.
What does that mean again, Mark? You go, don't you mean this, Mark? And I go, okay, yes, of course I mean this. But yes.
Yeah. And then I'll go, I hated it. no matter what. I didn't like it.
I hated it. Did you even watch it, Simon Mayo? What's your role in all of this?
What's your goal? Simon. Okay. So some good stuff out there at the minute, I guess. But today we are talking about the next film on the list, number 22, Eyes Without a Face. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Sure thing. Eyes Without a Face, yes. It's a 1960 horror film adaptation of Jean Redon's novel. It's directed by Georges Franju and stars Pierre Brasseur and Alida Valli. I think I'm nailing these names today.
You do French at GCSE.
Did I do? Yes, and I think I got an E or something.
Ooh.
That counts as it's an E for excellence. Okay, and the plot. A surgeon causes an accident which leaves his daughter disfigured and goes to extremes to give her a new face.
What is the author called in the book?
The author of the book was called something. I've closed that tab right. Down there.
No worries,
Jean okay. Redon.
Redon.
Jean Redon.
His catchphrase was, "It's redonkulous." That's what he said.
It's redonkulous. And when you finished the page, you said, no, don't stop reading. Redon. That's good. Come that's on. Good. Yeah. Come on, give me
that's
that.
Good. Yeah.
Give me that.
Applause. Yeah. There you go.
Applause. You were delayed for a couple of seconds. I thought I'd fallen flat.
No.
Like that
no.
Coke.
No, it's solid effort. It was a juicy crumpet. Okay, so it was a good bake. So this is what the Horror Hangout people had to say. Horror movies love a mad scientist, and they don't come much madder than Pierre Brasseur's boffin, Dr. Genesier, in this quietly insidious spooker. He attempts to make amends for causing the car accident that's ruined his daughter's face by grafting the visages of other women onto it. You don't need to be au fait with the plot of Face Off to see where this could go wrong. Georges Franju's capacity to eke pathos. I had a German GCSE, so I'm ruining these names. Georges Franju's capacity to eke pathos as well as ix from premise makes it an enduring classic and more than worthy of Pedro Almodovar's 2011 homage, The Skin I Live In. It's got a 98% exactly. rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 on IMDb. We've asked the Facebook group, and Andy CT said, "Not seen this one myself, but the visuals are quite striking. The mask has quite a Michael Myers quality to it. Might have to give it a watch, providing you guys don't conclude that it's a load of toss." We'll have to wait and see. Wow. Kev here says, "Great film, saw it in my third year of uni during Horror Nation." Cool, cool. So, did you have you seen it before? Have you? Do you know what it is? What did you think?
I've not seen this before. I'm familiar with some of the visuals. Obviously, quite striking visuals, as Mr. Andy CT suggested. Very Michael Myers, this mask. I agree. I kind of thought that all the way through. Seeing as we watched The Skin I Live In, several weeks back? Well, a number of weeks, quite a lot of weeks back.
Yeah.
This had The Skin I Live In all over it. Or obviously, The Skin I Live In has this all over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt incredibly similar in terms of setup. Obviously, there's a very distinctive, different plot point in The Skin I Live In, which makes it completely different. But yeah, it felt the same. I thought it was all right, you know. I mean, there are some bits I couldn't. There are some elements of the story which I found a little bit uninteresting. When it kind of returned to the police officers, I was a bit like, well, I'm kind of not interested in this and this.
Yeah.
I didn't kind of rate how well they were doing it, trying to follow up the leads.
They kind of didn't do anything in the end.
No, they didn't. Yeah. They did absolutely nothing. But the main characters were good. Like, her dad was good. The leading lady was good, and also the other lady who was. It wasn't her mother, was it? It was sort of like just a.
No, it was the ego of the relationship.
Yeah. I thought she was good as well. Yeah, what did you think, Luke?
Well, so, yeah, The Skin I Live In, like, you can't watch this and not see that now. Especially, like, the way that the mask kind of reminded me of, like, that kind of plasticky clothing that the woman wears in The Skin I Live In. There's a lot of, like little snippets like that. There's some funky-ass music in this film.
The eagle woman has
like, a theme tune, and it's, like, a fairground... vaudeville sort of thing.
It's almost like it's supposed to be like quite sinister, but every time it came on, I was a bit like, I quite like it, I quite enjoy this. And also, obviously, in terms of body horror and gore stuff, I mean, this was 1960, so obviously we've seen several bits of bobs, but there's stuff here that obviously I was thinking, that's quite disgusting for a film from 1960.
The critical reaction, I've got a quote here from Wikipedia. Critical reaction ranged from praise to disgust. Because, like, it was pretty disgusting.
Praise to disgust. I mean, that's how I rate. That's pretty much how I rate anything. And everything.
That's our new horror hangout rating system. Praise or disgust.
Praise or disgust.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I mean, would I say it's my favourite? Would I say it should be this high up on the list? Maybe. I mean, I don't know what influence this had.
I mean, even if it had a massive influence on The Skin I Live In, I think The Skin I Live In is far superior in almost every way. Not just because it's got Antonio Banderas in it.
Well, that helps. And a guy in a tiger costume. he goes around raping. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I need to watch this film again, even though I watched it just a few weeks ago. I mean, it is superior in every way. This is kind of like, it kind of goes through the motions and kind of repeats itself a few times. We kind of see, do you know what I mean? Find a new victim.
Draw on a face.
I don't really understand or feel the actual pain of Christiane.
She looks like a moody teenager.
She looks a bit like a moody teenager who's out of face.
I'm hideous. I've got spots everywhere.
And I don't want to be mean, Luke. I'm not going to be mean here.
All right.
It's going to sound mean.
Oh, no. Here we go.
When she has her face all right for a while.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, you look better with a mask on.
Well, only because it's in black and white. Like, I know what you mean, because the mask kind of looks normal, but I'm thinking it must be like a white mask or something, because I bet if it was on
color. But when we saw her looking her best for like a couple of scenes, I thought...
You didn't think she looked angelic?
What was that?
You didn't think she looked angelic?
No, I liked her better as Michael Myers.
Yeah, well, that's your thing, Michael Myers. Like, you've got a thing there, obviously.
Oh, no. Keep the mask on, Joring, please. No, I'd really like to take it off so I can keep it on.
Yeah. Yeah, are you talking to Michael Myers there, or are you talking to...
anyone who will listen, Luke.
Okay, so let's crack on with the plot. So, key players, we've got Pierre Brasseur as Dr. Genesier. He's like the Frankenstein sort of guy. He's part owl, I believe, or he looks like he's part owl. He's got like little owl ear hair, and he's got like a circular glasses that look like owl eyes. I'm sure that was what they were going for.
For a second, I was thinking, is he part owl?
You missed that bit, yeah. No, he definitely says, I'm an owl, several times throughout the film. Edith Scobb plays Christiane Genesier. She's the girl without the face. She had an accident or something. I don't think it goes into too much detail.
So what's her name? Edith Scobb.
Edith Scobb, yeah.
That doesn't sound like a very French name, does it?
It doesn't sound like a real name at all. Scobb.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Edith Scobb. Okay.
And then Alida Valli plays Louise, who's the Igor sort of character. She sort of helps the doctor, loves him, I guess, in a way, takes on the mother... like role in this relationship in some ways. It's kind of she's almost crazier than the doctor, I think. Also, she dies very easily. She's got a very small health bar.
Spoiler alert!
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. She doesn't die. Maybe she does. Have to wait and see.
She has a very small health bar. She does. She is like one of the smallest enemies in a game. All you got to do is just like brush their face a little bit. So a butterfly lands upon her nose. She dies.
Yeah, just one. It's like a one punch. No,
Maybe Christiane is just so good and so absolutely nails that she could just take her out like that. Bang.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. Straight into the whatever that is in the neck that makes people die instantly. Yeah.
Adam's app.
She's a girl. Oh, actually, we don't know that. She had an operation. Skin I live in.
Can't confirm or deny.
Okay. The film starts. We've got. Louise, we've got the funky vaudeville theme park music, Louise has a body, scobs it in the river.
It's a lovely body dressed in a man's coat and hat.
Yeah,
and just in case. Just in case the police stop her, and she goes, "He's had too much in the back, isn't he?" Just like,
yeah,
dead.
He's had far too much. He's dead.
He's had far too much dead.
Yeah. And then so he throws the body in the river. The body gets recovered. There's some sort of like, oh, the face is missing. It can only be one person. It's got to be Dr. Ganesia's daughter. They call him in, Mr. Owl himself, and he goes in and he looks at the body and says, "Yes, this is my daughter." There's another guy there who they thought it could potentially be his daughter. I don't know why. Maybe because she was missing or something. I don't know.
It was kind of like, he was a bit. It was weird. It was almost like it was your daughter, was it?
Yeah, but it was weird because he said the guy who came in, and then Dr. Ganesia said it's my daughter. The guy said when I got the phone call, I got so worried that it was going to be my daughter. And he was almost like seeking a bit of comfort from Dr. Ganesi. And Dr. Ganesi was like, it's my daughter.
Yeah. Your daughter isn't dead, but mine is. But you want me to comfort you?
Yeah. Although, to be fair, so it's his daughter. Yeah. Okay.
Is this the dad? So was he the dad of the girl who actually was missing, possibly?
Yeah. He's the dad of the girl who's actually... So that was his daughter, faceless on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. But So what's Dr. Ganesi are doing? Just stitching everyone up left, right and centre?
Pretty much, yeah. Jesus. He's a chaos agent. He's just there to cause havoc. He just wants to watch the world burn. we go back to his house. We see he's got like a big, nice house. And he's got lots of dogs. I don't know why he's got lots of dogs just in cages. Did it say he experiments on them or something?
I don't know. I don't think it says that explicitly. But yeah, he's got loads of dogs in cages. Maybe just likes dogs. But in cages, doesn't like him out and about roaming around. I like your dogs, but please stay at an arm's length and in that cage. I want to go for a walk. Shut up. Quiet now.
He's also got. We meet the daughter. Do we meet her yet?
Maybe we don't. Not the funeral first.
Right. Yes.
They put the fun in funeral and have a lovely funeral.
We're also introduced to Christiane's grieving fiance, who's also a doctor who works with Dr. Ganesi.
Yeah.
I think we see Louise talking a bit more to Dr. Ganesi now. She shows like a scar on her neck or something like that. Or is that later on? I can't really remember. She's loyal to him.
Yeah, she's really loyal to him because he repaired her badly damaged face at some point.
Yeah.
So we don't really find out exactly what happened to her. She's got a scar like on her neck, which she covers up by wearing some lovely load of pearls.
Yeah.
We sort of get a little bit about their. We get a little bit of information about their relationship, and also that Dr. Ganesi has been studying these newfangled skin graft techniques, and attempting them on various people, and he does explain to sort of, but he's doing some sort of talk.
That reminded me of Skin I Live In. He's doing about like skin grafting. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing talk about skin grafting, but he says obviously there are certain methods that he's been experimenting with, but he uses radiation, and you know the subject usually can't live through it. No one puts their hand up and go, "How do you know that human beings don't live if you've not?" I've done it to loads of people, mate. I've done it on my wall.
Wikipedia, just a thought. Yeah.
1960 Wikipedia was hot. Paper.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. Wikipedia. It's just a man with a load of paper on his lap. You have to go up to him and pay him one franc.
Well, yeah, you could donate to him, but he'd keep doing what he's doing anyway. Did Wikipedia still do that when you try and use it?
At the top of the page, it just goes, "Oh, could you please donate to me?" Oh, not a charity case. Your charity case, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I remember once it was really, really cold. And it, like super cold, it was like frosty outside. Me and Kat were walking home from the cinema, and we were like, "Oh, I can't believe how cold it is! Imagine how bad it must be to be homeless. I'd hate to be homeless tonight." And the homeless guy heard us, and he said, "Have you got any change?" And I said, "No."
Oh my god!
I didn't have any change though.
Luke Condor's moral code.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be horrible to be? I feel if there was a homeless person here right now, I'd give him some bloody money. I would. Hello, I'm homeless. Is my bus?
Yeah, he said we need change, and I thought, you know, Donald Trump, Brexit, we do need change, sir. And I left him. You are quite right.
And this was years ago as well, and he was like, "What? What's a Brexit?"
Yeah,
Luke Condor knew. He was ahead of the curve.
Kind of a cereal biscuit. Okay, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah, so I think at some point, yeah, they go home and then we meet Christiane. She's got this kind of obscures her face for a bit, but then we do meet her properly, and she wears this creepy Michael Myers mask. It is a very visually like a kind of a horrific mask to look at.
You could do it up a right treasure though, couldn't you?
You could put makeup on that.
You could put makeup on it. You could draw tattoos on. I mean, you could do that with your normal face. You know,
make it like a kabuki mask. Yeah.
Yep.
You should have like a different. It's like a Japanese theatre.
All right.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
If she's
feeling frisky.
Yeah, she could she could play the Phantom Menace quite well. Like, she could put that on just in the house, keep herself entertained with the teddy bears.
With the teddy bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she should be grateful, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah, she should. She's got a pretty wicked-looking mask.
Yeah,
badass. Yeah, pretty sick.
So, okay, she's roaming around the house like a recluse. And then she and her dad, Dr. Ganesia, sort of promises he's going to restore her face eventually.
Mm, yeah.
I promise I will. I've just got some things to sort out. Yeah. And then she brings her fiancé at one point, who works with Dr. Ganesia at his clinic. And she hangs up without saying a word.
Rude.
Rude. I mean, that's gonna mess with his head, isn't it? That's not fair.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe put his PPI call or something. So then they say, I think they decide. See, I got a bit confused on this bit because what's the name? Louise is out in a. She goes to like a train station or something and meets a girl and says, "Do you want to come back to our house?" Or like, what is the thing? What is the game plan there? Like, I know the game plan is to get her to. Get a face off.
Yeah.
They just say, do you want to come back to the house? And she goes back with him.
Well, I think we get the idea that she befriends her over the course of a few days, maybe even like weeks. Because she goes to like a show with her. And then later on, she meets her in a cafe and she goes like, oh, I found you a room. Almost at, like, you kind of understand that they've had obviously had a bit of a relationship between these two. And she's obviously gone, oh, I need a place to stay. And she's gone, I know a room. And then, so she's obviously built up. She's gained her trust, built up a relationship with her.
Not a, how are you doing, get in the car.
She hasn't gone in, blown her beans, pulled, kidnapped someone, and gone back to, you know, she's playing the long game, which is good, I guess, because that's a good way of her covering her tracks. So, yeah, she takes her back to the house where she's...
Theme music plays as she's doing it. I notice.
And when she gets her back, she's clearly trying to still continue to play the long game, but Ganesia has gone, I'm going to chloroform the shit out of her.
But this is the thing, this is weird as well. Like, so Ganesia's, it looks, from the outside looking in, it looked like an old married couple trying to spice up their sex life, and they got a girl in.
100%.
They're like, do you want a drink?
And they got a girl in. I'll tell you what I want to do tonight, bro. I want to get a girl in. All right, I'll see you in a minute. I'll go get one. Yeah,
my alarm bells would have been going crazy.
But not as sinister as that. Like, my alarm bells would definitely go off thinking I was in some sort of swinging scenario.
Yeah.
But I would never think.
I wouldn't be saying, leave my face alone.
leave my pretty face alone.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to cut it right off. I'm going to cut it right off like a piece of paper, which is pretty much what I do.
Yeah. So they chloroform the shit out of her. Next thing we see, she's on a bed, faces out, and then she's unconscious, and they're drawing, doodling over her face.
Yeah, I think Christiane at some point watches them sort of take the girl into their lab.
We see a real face for a second or two, I think.
When she goes in to see the girl, I think. Doesn't she like stroke the dog at some point? Stroke some of the dogs. I may look like a terrifying Michael Myers type, but I like dogs. And she strokes a couple of them in the cage.
The dogs don't mind her at all, even if she's kind of creepy. Yeah.
They're fine with her. They don't judge you, mate.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I can't judge you. No. Dogs love you.
Yeah. They don't like owls, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And so we get a sneaky peek of her face. It's still out of focus because we're seeing through the POV of the girl they kidnapped. And she looks kind of creepy. Like literally his eyes without a face, like just eyes and then like flayed.
A bit like Two-Face, but Two-Face. Imagine Two-Face with one face.
But the bad
but
face.
But that one face is the bad face. Yeah.
Oh, bad face.
Good face.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if Two-Face held up a little mirror like that.
Yeah. He could do that for like when he wants to look normal. Like if he's just in a car or something looking out, have a mirror there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I'll be dead.
Yeah.
So then Dr. Ganesier, who's got a lot of heavy breathing going on while he performs this skin graft surgery.
The blood looked quite good. You know when he goes around with the... I don't actually know how to do this. They go around the line with the penknife, the scalpel.
Assuming it's some sort of tool that like disperses blood as it goes around.
It looked good until Louise got in there with the brush.
Yeah.
And it made it look like ink or something. Like it...
Yeah.
It didn't look like blood. But... Was it chocolate sauce? Because I read somewhere that back in black and white days...
Yeah, I think back in the day they used the chocolate sauce for blood. I don't know if that's just a rumour. Just an horrible, dirty rumour, wasn't it? I mean, the smell of chocolate sauce was up. I mean...
So, and then they peel the face off. Like, it's actually quite well done, I thought. They really take the time to, like, unflap the face.
And then the nose
off in one.
When a nose comes off in one, that's so frustrating. Yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. All the time, you've got this, like, the dogs in the other room are constantly crying. Like, you just hear them whining in the background.
This is the thing, like, if you're going to keep dogs, whatever you're keeping them for, whether you're keeping them for experiments or whatever, considering Dr. Ganesier is such a heavy breather.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. He doesn't want anyone to hear him.
You couldn't chill out in that surgery because he was heavy breathing and dogs were whining. If I was at Louise, I would have been like, steady.
that's a good point. Yeah, he's the kind of guy who he probably has a CPAP machine going. This is a regular theme in a horror hangout now. Like, you've got a CPAP
second
machine.
Week in a row. Yeah.
So he needs the dogs to drown that sound out, I guess. But poor guy with his apnea. Okay, so... They transfer the face.
It's a simple copy and paste job.
It is, yeah. So the girl escapes. So she wakes up. She's got a bandaged face.
She sees Christiane for a second.
Yeah, they should have done a scene from Batman where she holds up the mirror and then she takes off the and starts like laughing really loud.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Yeah,
I love those moments. Yeah. Slowly taking the bandage off. I said, "Get me a mirror." Is that Batman or is that Face Off? For like both the same thing.
Yeah, it's
in Batman and in Face Off. Get me a mirror. I don't want to. You're not gonna want. You're not gonna like it. Get me a mirror. Yeah. Ah! Always the same.
I think it's exactly the same. But then she, Edna is the name of this girl that kidnapped. She's bandaged all over her face. It's pretty horrific what they've done to her. She bonks Louise on the head with a bottle she's got from somewhere. Makes a proper boom noise. That sounds like a blow dart. She got a blow dart from somewhere. she escapes, but she goes upstairs. Dr. Ganesi is coming after her. And then we hear a scream.
Puffing and wheezing and lumbering up the stairs. He's not going to catch you. She can walk away from him.
Yeah. But she tries to fly. jumps straight out the window. Screams.
This is another look before you leap moment. We had it in a Suspiria.
There could be razor wire. There could be yellow,
a 30-foot drop.
There could be a 30-foot drop. That's the first thing you want to look out for, really. Even before the razor wire, 30-foot drop.
Because what else are they going to do to her? You know what I mean? They've had her face off, like, and they're keeping her alive for whatever reason. What else are they going to do to her? Chop her up into little pieces and put her in a dog food?
Yeah, I don't know, actually, because there was one point where Christiane says they've got the chemicals to put dogs down. So maybe they just put her down. I don't know. They don't really go into that. It's almost convenient if she dies.
I mean, it's great for the plot.
Yeah. So she dies anyway, and then they get rid of the body. They throw it in the...
recycling.
They throw it in the... whatever they call those things, where mausoleum, the other Christiane was buried. So there's two of them now down there without faces, that aren't Christiane. And then we go back to having dinner. Christiane's face is healing nicely. Ben doesn't agree. better with a mask on, he says.
Edith Scob. I feel like that's mean, but I mean, it's just my opinion. If you don't like my opinion, Edith Scob, then you know where to shove it.
Yeah. But it looks quite good. I mean, it's obviously like the actress's real face. There's a bit where
or is it, mate?
I don't know. Ganesi is like smile, and then she does this tiny little wrinkle of the lip, and he goes not too much. Whoa!
as if you go ah, and your face just split in half and fall off.
Yeah, you know when you got like a shirt that's too tight.
Yeah,
the button pops off,
and then suddenly you do the what's his name? Usain Bolt, and it rips. Oh shit! Rips up his back. I was on a night out with someone once. It was a Halloween night out, and he had like holes in his shirt. You know, like how someone would just put holes in their shirt, like they're a zombie or something.
Yeah.
And we were somewhere, and someone walked up behind him and ripped his shirt in half. And it just came off of him like tissue paper. And he just had to go around topless the rest of the night.
Was he quite ripped underneath? Was it okay?
No.
No. Poor guy.
if he's listening, which he won't be, he's in better shape now, I'm sure.
Okay, good. Okay, so...
I really mean about point, people's physical appearances, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. We've been
flippant. I'm the wall painter, mate. I mean, am I? Come on.
Yeah. We've got to be a little bit flippant in this show. It's how we are. Okay, so... So Christian, the doctor's like, yeah, it looks very good. And he has a close inspection. And he goes, like, loosens his collar. And then
he's like,
he goes, and then she goes, is it good? And he goes, yeah.
He just goes, I fucked it. I fucked it, haven't I? I've had a beast. I've fucked it. Last chance to lose. And I've ruined it.
That's exactly, like, he goes outside and he's trying to remain calm. And then tell Louise that he's fucked. I've left a scalpel inside.
A vein just popping in his head while he's going, everything's fine.
Yeah. So at some point, we get to like a little montage of like photographs of like the face getting worse and worse.
I like this bit. This bit for me was one of the nicest creepy little bits.
Yeah.
Her eyes
are very piercing, and
and I just like the way not only her skin that was like degenerating, but it was also like her. She looked the first she one. She was a bit sad. Like,
yeah. She looks hopeful.
I got a new face.
Yeah,
I can't wait to show off my new face. Next one, she's like, it's itching.
Yeah,
it's probably in that. That's in Face Off as well. I think Nicolas Cage or John Travolta or vice versa keep saying the face itches. They always go, oh, itchy bloody face.
It's weird, because I kind of feel like the skin is completely fixed to the muscles and sinew and stuff inside. I'm sure you just can't just like put a new face on like that. Yeah, can you? I'm sure that's not how it works.
In Face Off, mate, they've got all the science, right? They even adjust their hairlines.
Modulate their vocal cords.
I used to like that film.
Yeah, there's gold guns.
Used to.
Perfect.
That film is amazing.
I've not seen it in a long time. I had it on VHS. All right, I'll have to watch it again.
I think some point as well, John Travolta's, when he is cast as Troy,
yeah,
has sex with his wife, and I think she obviously has absolutely no idea it's a different penis. She don't go, hang on a minute.
They must have altered that as well. When did you get circumcised, John? Yeah.
When did you get uncircumcised, John?
Yeah. When did you get a third testicle, John? John, it sounds like a Beatle. When did you get a third testicle, John? And
Schmickles.
Yeah. Also, John Travolta's got a fairly big head. They must have done some sort of head shrinking and head enlarging to Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage has got a tennis ball head. There's some fundamental differences there. He's like a white tennis ball with a Lego cap on it. You know what I mean?
A white tennis ball.
You've seen him.
Spray paint a white tennis ball. Yeah. They have definitely got different sized heads. I mean, this is the thing. Obviously, Louise in this film has scoped out someone and thought she's got the same size head as Christiane.
Yeah.
I think Christiane's got quite a small head as well.
Yeah.
Her head's like a little ball bearing on top of a pencil. It's minuscule. She's found someone with a minuscule head as well and I've got to get her involved.
Well, it's like, you know, when they do the Great British Bake Off and they put the pie crust over the top and they just snip off the excess. What they do, yeah.
You can use it.
Yeah. And then you put it in the oven.
But then the aisles would have been like here.
Yeah. Precise it must have to be. They use a very thick, grease-proof pencil on the face. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's very rough. Like, his hand's shaking as he's breathing.
Very big Sharpie.
Yeah, exactly.
He's had 9 cups of coffee before he's doing it.
It's kind of relentless, yeah. In one of those beer hats. Just going straight in. Yeah. Okay.
Can you not... Dr.
Janet Canessier's on there instead.
Canessier, can you not just have a normal drink? Have a lovely mug. No, I'm going to drink... Oh, everything's going to be dispersed into my head, but he's too large.
Plunge me, Louise. Plunge me.
I'm ready to do the operation.
I love a fresh pressed beer hat.
With this breath knife. Yeah. Give it my face now. I'm ready.
Yeah. No wonder it never fucking works. Oh, fucked it up again.
He just did it with a big industrial size.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he fucks it up. Christiane rejects the face.
Goes back to the mask. As per Ben's
back to
suggestion.
You know, I mean, I'm assuming the face just gets ripped off and thrown away.
Like yesterday. They just throw it and it slaps against the wall, folds over itself and lands in the bin. I think for each feed it to the dogs or something.
Is that real or not?
No, but they should have had that shot, yeah. My granddad said that he had a tattoo once and he had it removed. I don't know the story behind it, but he didn't like it for whatever reason. And back this before, like a while back,
it was your name.
Well, yeah, I was a bit of a little shit, and he had it like he said what they had to do. The guy just scraped the skin off quite deep, so it was bleeding quite bad. And then he said he just got a piece of paper and stuck the tattoo to the wall, and said I can use that to sell more as a portfolio piece. And I think he was exaggerating that bit.
Oh my god!
I think he was exaggerating that bit, as granddad's do.
Slabs of human flesh on the wall, sort of. Where was his tattoo studio?
Must have been Mansfield. So it's understandable. Yeah, I can picture it.
It was in the back of a newsagent's tiny little storeroom.
Yeah, but I think he exaggerated that bit. But the idea is that he took the skin off, and he could see the tattoo still on the skin and stuff, like a full formed thing. Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, they throw this face in the bin, I guess. It's rotting at that point. Anyway, stinking the place out. So now we had the little police side story that doesn't really go anywhere, but it fills up half an hour. I'd say
I didn't really have any interest in this. I mean, they were incompetent, these police guys. Didn't they just investigate? They're talking about their investigation. People with the same sort of eyes, and I don't know what the eyes had anything to do with it. They want the face, don't they?
Similar
facial characteristics.
Yeah, so they had a shoplifted girl, and then they were like, you're going to go to court, and it's going to be really bad for you unless you do this thing for us. You're going to go undercover. The old fiance has because of his phone calls, I think he's asked the police to look into it. They put her into Dr. Ganesi's hospital care thing, which we only found out later in the film that it's right next to his house. I didn't realize it was that close.
I mean, talking about shitting on your doorstep.
Yeah, yeah. Just talking about it, it's interesting.
Talking about it, I mean, if you got to go, you got
to
go.
You have got to go, yeah.
Go all the way upstairs. The time.
Yeah.
Look at the front door.
Literally just taking her out, yeah. So they get this shoplifter to go to do his care. He says there's nothing wrong with her, and he says she's allowed to go. At this point, I'm thinking, what kind of fucking doctor is Dr. Ganesia? He's doing, like, a kid who's got a headache, who's dying, who's, like, a pointless to the story. He's got a girl who's got headaches. He also does, like, plastic surgery, I guess, and the skin grafting. What is he? What does he do?
Headaches and skin, Luke, for God's sake. Come on. What's difficult to understand? Headaches and skin. Studied.
Yeah. He's got, like, the headache ward. It's like his own little personal hospital. He's got the headache ward on one side. That's just one room. Pediatricians on the next side. And it's like he's like the old-fashioned booper. Like, he is a private healthcare, I guess. So the girl leaves. Louise picks her up. Next thing we know, she's on the table. The police turn up. Then they don't see anything. And then they say, okay, well, it's nothing. We'll leave. And then at this point, the girl who they've got on the table, they're going to operate on her. What's her name? Lets her out.
Yeah, Christiane obviously is losing her a bit. She's a bit like, you know what? I don't think my dad's got the ability to sort my face out. I think he's mugging me off. He's murdering girls left, right, and center, trying to find the perfect face for me. And to be honest, I'm beginning to love my new look.
Yeah. At some point, you have to stop your dad nicking faces.
Yeah. I mean, my face might look like the inside of an asshole, but, I mean, I'm learning to live with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me saying that as her. That's not me.
Not you. Okay, I understand you.
Just in case you got that backwards.
So then she lets her out. She runs away. I think she makes it all the way out of the house. Can't remember.
Christiane stabs Louise in the little neck hole.
In the little neck hole. Yeah.
Which seems like she could have just, I mean, at this point, she could have gone, give her a slap. She could have give her an uppercut. She could have nutted her, but she decides to stab her in the neck with a tiny little, I mean, right in the neck, and obviously quite good visuals because she did have a scar on her neck anyway. Yeah. So she's gone right for the weak scar tissue and stabbed her in the neck.
That's the hole you make when people are choking. Like, you don't die from that hole. Like, although it's kind of emotional, Louise, like, is basically feels betrayed. Like, she's crying and says, why?
Because she's been trying to help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Really, I mean, not in a legal sense, but she still has been doing. Like, she's been putting everything on the line, getting rid of bodies, kidnapping girls.
Heart was in the right place.
Her heart was in the right place, despite the fact she's a nutcase.
Yeah, yeah. So she dies, and then the shoplifter runs away, escapes, and at this point, Christiane goes into the dog kennels. Starts letting them all out, lets some doves out, and then Dr. Ganesia...
We can't just brush over that. Let some doves out. I mean, yeah, what was the experiment on the doves as well? I mean, why?
Oh yeah, there's doves there as well. Yeah, they kind of came out of nowhere.
That's literally just a nice visual.
A nice visual though, yeah. Like, with the doves sat on the shoulder, they had similar faces.
It was a nice fit. They might have just gone, and she lets out this white horse and rides away on it. You know what I mean? It was just added to literally
rides
just
away on one of the dogs. Yeah. the dogs, Dr. Ganesi opens the door, he hears the barking, gets attacked by one dog. Very quickly, like, there's dogs all over him. These dogs, I don't know how to film this because they were properly scrapping.
The dogs were fighting each other. No one was in control of that scene.
No.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't the actor who played Dr. Ganesia getting mauled, but he was getting mauled by like 12 different breeds of dog.
They were all on top of him, and the dogs were fighting each other. It didn't look like safe. Like 1960s animal safety.
I reckon what happened was there was a guy who's just like, yes, I've been training these dogs quite thoroughly. Don't worry. Just let them out. And the dogs actually started mauling someone.
And he goes,
but he just went, but he just went, keep filming. We're getting this gold here.
Fucked it up.
Fucked it, I know. Oh, fucked ooh, it. You have fucked it, mate. But don't, yeah. Luckily, it's the end of the film, so this guy's dead in real life.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
Eyes Without a Face, snuff movie.
Yeah. So that's that was the film. That's how it ends. Finn, it says at the end. I don't know why.
Finn, which I don't know what that means. I mean, maybe that's just like...
It's weird, isn't it? That Finn isn't the full version of that word. It's like, it's not like Finnish. Is the finished version of that word. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Finny.
Okay, so... that's the film. Yeah, do you want to do some trivia?
Yeah. I'm always up for trivia.
Like I said, didn't have much time for this trivia. I think I did it in 5 minutes. And so, you know...
Mate, you got to put more effort in, let's be honest.
Okay, number one. Director John Carpenter once suggested that selecting the mask that Michael Myers wore on Halloween was influenced by Edith Scobb's mask in this film. True or false?
That's not true, because it was a William Shatner mask, wasn't it?
It was William Shatner. It was a William Shatner mask. But according to the trivia website, he once suggested that it was influenced.
Oh, okay.
But they look very similar.
William Shatner.
What did they do to that William Shatner mask? Did they?
I think it was just a William. I think they just had. I don't know.
Off the shelf. Did it just come like that?
I don't know. I think maybe it did, and I'm assuming they like sprayed it, like white, and then yeah. But other than that, it was exactly the same. Michael Myers also got a Star Trek uniform underneath.
Yeah. Okay, so number two. When the film appeared in the Edinburgh Film Festival in 1960, it was reported that 7 audience members fainted during the surgery scene.
Yeah, I can believe that. True.
True. Director George Frangi responded to say, "Now I know why Scotsmen wear skirts." And I was trying to work out what he meant by that. Like, that's what you like non sequitur, right? Like, what is he on about?
hang about. What does he mean?
That means that like they went in there wearing kilts because they thought I'm going to faint, and like, it's going to be an excuse for people to see my knob and bollocks.
Like, or is he having a go at them for fainting, saying you bloody wimps. And he's been a bit sexist, okay. And he's gone. You're even your men wear skirts. You load up bloody
women. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I thought there was something like a flashing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. I can see what he means now. He was clearly is he French? The director French?
Yeah.
His name hate Scotsman.
His name's George Frangi, so I imagine the Fran in the name means France.
Maybe. Jew. Yeah. He's got a problem. I reckon a Scottish bloke stole his wife.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, number three. The film was used in several ad campaigns to show the dangers of getting one's face cut off by crazy doctors. Don't do it, kids.
I mean, there are a lot of dangers, but you know, there was a lot of other stuff to worry about in the 60s. Possibly getting some sort of viral infection, and getting mauled by packs dogs. Of dogs.
Yeah, so we're supposed to be on, like walking onto a film set and accidentally getting mauled by dogs. Happens way too often. Kurt! Never seen him again.
that's a third mauling in this week.
Yeah,
he was 1 week off of retirement. All of those dogs were.
Number four, director George Frangiu never considered the film to be a horror story, but instead felt it was a tale of anguish. True or false?
Yes, true. Why not?
It's true, and
it's the Scottish people who wear skirts. Is it Mr. Fran? Mr. Franny? What's his name?
Frangiu.
Mr. Framjew, oh, it's a tale of anguish. Oh, it's a tale of anguish. Slit that out of your kilt.
Jaxie. It's weird. there's been a couple of things where people said it's not a horror film, it's a film about something. Like, there's people saying it isn't a horror film, it's a psychological thriller. But why not a horror? Like, what's so bad about calling something a horror film?
I don't think anything's too bad about calling something a horror film. I just think sometimes it's easy to just lump a film in with a lot of other crap by calling it a horror film. Mm. So, like, you go, oh, it's a horror film, and people whose perception of a horror film might be A, B, and C. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like a slasher film or like a paranormal film or something. And then something like It, they might just go, if someone goes, oh, it's a horror film, you kind of think, oh, you know what to expect from it. But by kind of elaborating on what it is as well as a horror film,
yeah,
hopefully will make it stand out from the crowd for more casual horror fans, or maybe fans, or maybe people who aren't, because a lot of people hate horror films.
Yeah.
But you would consider It to be a film that, like, non-horror fans would enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just my two cents, Luke.
I like it. You should write an essay on it. Be horror. Being comfortable with horror.
Maybe I will. Cool. Yes.
Okay, so number five. The film is actually set to be remade by Andy Muschietti, starring Piers Brosnan as a doctor, and none other than Stephen King as the faceless girl, Christiane.
I was believing it right up until that point.
Could be half true. Could be half true. I could have just added that Christiane snippet on the
end. Starring Aaron Eckhart reprising his role as Harvey Dent.
As One Face.
That's Mr. One Face. Vanity mirror in his hand.
Yeah.
Rachel! There's a bit. Sorry to talk. This is totally irrelevant. There is a bit in The Dark Knight when Joker is in the hospital with Harvey Dent, who's just been two-faced.
Yeah.
And if you remember right, the Joker is in a fairly loose disguise as a nurse. He's got, like, the mask over his face, but you can still see the fact that it's the Joker.
Yeah.
Harvey Dent reacts to the Joker. He looks at him first when he's got the mask on, and only reacts when he takes off the little mask. Who else would it be? He's got all the makeup on. You can see it's the Joker with a mask on, but he kind of looks at him, and then when he takes the mask off, he goes,
"Rah!" I've not seen that for a long time, but
it'll be like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You're walking into a room with a face mask over you, and me just going, "What have you done with Luke?" Wait, oh!
Yeah.
You had me.
My mum used to do that. She used to, like, we used to, like, we used to sat with her, and I was really young, maybe like 6 or 7, and she used to do that and say, "I'm a monster," and it used to freak me out. And then, like, and then she'd go, "I'm a monster," and she wouldn't let up for, like, just a little bit too long. Like, she was almost, like, taking a little bit too much pleasure in torturing me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she'd go, eventually, after, like, I get, like, really scared, she'd say, "No, I'm your mum. I'm a monster."
Too late, you'd already hit her.
Yeah. By this point, yeah. But it's fun. I was running upstairs and jumping out the window. But okay.
First.
So I need to rate the film. See, I think this film is better than 1922 and The Babysitter by far. But I know I normally let you rate first, but it just gets out of the way. But I'm going to give it a C+, based in where I feel like it sits with the rest of these films that we've watched on this list. It's a good film, and I do feel like I really, really love Skin I Live In. That's, like, one of my favourite films I've seen on this list, and this felt like the prototype for that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It felt like the Skin I Live In light.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't really remember what I gave the Skin I Live In. I think that's another one where, after thinking about it and allowing that one to settle for a little bit longer, I definitely enjoy it a lot more. But yeah, this is, I don't appreciate this as much as the Skin I Live In. I mean, it had some cool bits in it, but I felt like some of the elements of the story where we kind of went with the police and stuff, I was losing interest. I kind of wanted to stick. If it was just all took place kind of in the sort of area, the clinic, the headache / skin clinic, I think I'd enjoy it a lot more. And even like Christiane's plight, I wasn't even that bothered about. Do you know what I mean? I don't know who I cared about in this film. I don't think I cared about anyone. But at the same time, I'd go for a C. Mine? C minus, mate.
Fair enough. So that's it. That's The Skin I Live In. No, I mean, what's this film called again? That's Eyes Without a Face.
It's called The Skin with Eyes. The skin of a face without eyes that she lives in.
Yeah. So next week we are going to do like Halloween special. I don't think we've quite figured out what we want to do just yet, but we're going to do something about our favourite horror moments, our top 10 favourite horror moments, so like in games, books and films, and
yeah, maybe something like the top 10 things that scared us,
yeah,
at some point. I don't know, we'll work it, we're at this now, but if anyone's got any suggestions,
yeah,
for what kind of thing they'd like to see us discuss,
you need to let us know pretty soon because we're going to be recording.
Let us know, like, yeah, pretty much now. I mean, if you're listening, like, and it is not yet Halloween 2017,
yeah,
then please get in touch. But you know,
yeah, yeah,
we might just disregard your suggestion.
And then at some point, the next on the actual list is John Carpenter's The Fog, and I've never seen it before, so that'd be cool.
You never seen The Fog?
Maybe it's I have. I don't know. Well, I might want to say the way you watch it, you go, oh, I recognise that.
Talking of the fog.
Yeah.
Earlier on, when you said, what horror stuff have you been consuming? I've got John Carpenter's anthology, Movie Themes.
Yeah. Is it on Spotify album yet?
I think so.
Yeah, I'll listen to
that. Which has got everything. So all the main themes from like his most popular films, including The Fog. And it's lovely. It's a lovely eargasm. Listen.
Did you listen to the Halloween music remake by Trent Reznor?
Yeah. Atticus Ross. I did indeed. I thought it was great.
Very good. I love all that John Carpenter music. I listen to the Lost Themes album quite a lot. Lost Themes 1 and 2.
Yeah. It's a good sort of like, it's good writing music.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna zone out. I can't listen to anything when I'm writing that's got any vocals in it.
No, I tried a couple of times, but then I
what are you saying?
Start listening to the lyrics too much.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so this show is brought to you by the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks for the guys over in the Horror Hangout Port of Advisors Facebook group. Thanks to listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a rating and review in iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Oh, thank you, Luke.
Thanks to the listeners. So thank you very much. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.